KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from San Francisco and I live in Berkeley.
Off Piedmont Avenue.
Oakland, 33rd and Telegraph.
I was born in Costa Rica.
Emeryville, California. Woo, represent.
Coming up, why Alameda County wants its emergency response team to look like the people it serves.
I honestly want to say it's like speaking Spanish. Some of the language, like I won't understand what the patient's talking about.
Then Oakland's new police chief shares her leadership strategy.
We are not going to compromise in the Oakland Police Department with anybody who doesn't have a heart for service.
And diehard fans root for the home team.
17 games! I was here when we were winning 17! 17!
Let's make some noise. It's Cross Currents. Oakland has a shortage of firefighters and paramedics. That's according to a recent job vacancy report by the city. Filling the ranks of emergency responders is a struggle, especially when it comes to recruiting a diverse team. Alameda County is one of the largest and most racially diverse counties in the country, but most of its first responders are white. So the county started a program to grow a new crop of health professionals who reflect the communities they serve. KALW's Tammy Drummond reports in this story from our archives.
I am with emergency responders Nicholas Kinney and Chris Channel in a green and white Paramedics Plus ambulance racing to a 911 call in Fremont. We bump over train tracks and swerve through mid-afternoon traffic.
On up to Mission, turn right.
Kinney is a 25-year-old emergency medical technician, better known as an EMT. He's in the passenger seat navigating. He punches in a hip-hop track and starts bouncing to the booming bass. The radio dispatcher has an update. The patient isn't in the throes of a heart attack after all. She's suffering from an altered level of consciousness, which basically means she's confused and disoriented.
Maybe heart attack, maybe stroke, maybe hypoglycemia, could be sepsis. So that's what we gotta figure out.
The way Kinney is rattling off possible diagnoses, it's hard to imagine that a little over 2 years ago, you might have encountered him whipping up lattes and frappuccinos at Starbucks.
Then I had a man bun. And I look like a samurai warrior.
Before that, he was growing up in North Richmond, in a neighborhood where it was all too common for warring gangs to have shootouts on the street.
I had some friends that, rest in peace, that didn't make it.
In 2014, Kinney's life took a dramatic turn. He lopped off the man bun and enrolled in a 5-month program that trains young men of color to become emergency medical technicians. EMTs work with paramedics to provide medical care in the field during an emergency.
It's like I'm the hands and the feet in the community, you know? Like, what do you need? I got you. You need warmth, you need fluids, you dehydrated, like whatever you need, we're here.
Y'all ready for this mantra? Give it to me one time. If y'all believe in this mantra, give it to me two times.
It began for Kinney as it does for all new recruits at the EMS Corps in San Leandro.
Let's get it in. We are Cohort 10. Our character is a reflection of our integrity. The impossible is defeated by our courage. We are committed to being assets to our community, standing morally strong as brothers. All
right. I'm in a spare conference room. 11 men dressed in Navy t-shirts with the EMS Corps logo are sitting at long tables arranged in a big rectangle. Most are African American and Latino. Each one has a journal open in front of him. They're intensely focused on their teacher, life coach Dr. Valerie Street.
And how can you match your gifts and talents with one of the world's greatest needs? One.
The one that I'm really working on is a teacher, because I feel like I'm a huge role model to everyone under me.
That's Naquan Taylor. At 18, he's the youngest. He grew up in a housing project near the Coliseum BART that generates more than its share of 911 calls. He wants to be a nurse.
I want to be the role model that they don't see on the TV, that they don't see on social media, that they don't see in the internet.
As the class goes on, Street takes the recruits on what she calls a 26-step roadmap to manhood.
It takes them on a discovery of who they are, what their character is, what their strengths are, what they value most in this life. And once that is nailed down, then they don't have doubts. They're not in the street looking for an identity.
In order to apply, recruits must be 18 to 26 and have a high school diploma. They earn a $1,000 a month stipend. They're working as EMTs at private ambulance companies, on fire department rigs, as counselors at detox centers, and as community outreach workers.
There's so many different fields within, careers within healthcare that they can actually go into.
Michael Gibson is EMS Corps' executive director. He says the program started at Camp Sweeney, the youth detention center in San Leandro. EMS Corps still recruits heavily from there.
I look for the young man that's been through some tragedy in his life and had faced some hardships and just need an opportunity.
That would be someone just like his younger self.
My first arrest was at age 11, and then 12, carrying guns, running the streets, selling drugs. And then, of course, as I got older, I got into more serious charges, so where I ended up in the California Youth Authority. For about 3.5 years, I served out of an 8-year sentence.
Overall, about 30% of recruits have had some kind of contact with the criminal justice system. They aren't eligible, though, if they have more than 2 misdemeanors or 2 felonies on their record. That disqualifies them from taking the state exam for EMT certification. Gibson tries to show the recruits that they don't have to be defined by the past.
So I use a lot of my own stories and lessons that I've learned in life to show them that, one, I've been there. I know what you're going through. I've been through it. But I also have a blueprint for success. I can show you the way if you're willing to listen.
Coming in code 2 traffic. On board we have a 69-year-old female. 69-year-old female. Coming
back on the ambulance, Kenny and his partner are transporting their patient to Washington Hospital in Fremont. They're an unusual team. Kenny is biracial with urban swagger. Channel is white and grew up in Moraga in the suburbs. Most ambulance crews are all white. Channel says that can be a handicap on calls to communities of color.
Like when we have a patient that we pick up in Oakland, you'll see Kenny's demeanor like totally change and totally like adapt to that style. Like, I don't have that. Like, I grew up in Moraga. Some of the language, like, I won't understand what the patient's talking about. But having him on scene, you know, he knows how to talk to patients to get them to smile.
But after a year and a half together, the duo is breaking up. After our ride-along, Kenny got accepted into Oakland's super competitive fire academy. In San Leandro, I'm Tammy Drummond for Cross Currents.
That story has been updated since it originally aired in August of last year. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. One important Oakland job has recently been filled. Ann Kirkpatrick became the city's police chief at a swearing-in ceremony earlier this year.
It is my vision that the Oakland Police Department be the model agency for policing in America in every way. So with that, I am ready. Oakland, I hope you're ready. Because we're moving ahead and we're going over that finish line.
Kirkpatrick has got a Southern twang and changemaker cred, having just left her job leading reform efforts in the Chicago Police Department. But some are skeptical that any one chief can change a department rocked by scandal for so long. Kirkpatrick described herself as a courageous leader and a supporter of procedural justice, a type of policing that aims to improve the relationship between police and communities of color. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Chief Kirkpatrick to ask what that means for Oakland.
Well, I think that Oakland has done a great job even before I got here. These police officers and members of our professional staff, they are practicing procedural justice in their day-to-day encounters. So just as an example, when they make contact with the public, they are practicing the principle of letting the complaining party or whoever they're touching base with, let them tell their story. Listen to their story, then to interact with anyone that they meet on a day-to-day basis, to show that type of deference, to have a right tone, and then to make decisions that are based on all the facts in context.
But at the same time, Oakland's police department has chronically been understaffed based upon what voters had mandated, based on what mayors have asked for. What is the staffing right now of sworn officers?
The budgeted number is 794. Now, that doesn't mean we have 794 officers right now. We have vacancies, and our vacancies are high, and we're recruiting. And so we want to take that opportunity even right now to say that we're looking for the best of the best. And we have needs in our department, not only as police officers, but we have a critical need for dispatchers. We're hiring record specialists. We're hiring all kinds of people, but we're looking for the best of the best.
If you're understaffed, though, can the officers afford to take that extra relational time in the field aside from answering calls?
That's a great question. This is a human nature business. This is a people business. And so it is a challenge for our officers who are going from call to call to call to call. And especially when the community is having to wait for that police service, that sometimes the officer arrives on the scene and they are met with people who are not happy to begin with and then exacerbated because they've had to wait. And so it can be a challenge for the officer to also maintain the emotions associated with being challenged. And it's not their fault. They are trying their very best to service the community, but it is a challenge. And so staffing does impact relationships. And that's why I'm committed to getting not only us up to full complement, but we must also have the best of the best. We are not going to compromise in the Oakland Police Department with anybody who doesn't have a heart for service.
Is there extra training you think could be useful or necessary in order to build up those human contact skills?
We're just now developing a curriculum for a second round of procedural justice that every member is going to go through. Training is important because what it does is raise consciousness. Many of us and most of us have been practicing procedural justice all of our lives, all of our careers, but we never had it actually packaged and brought to our attention. And that's what we're doing right now in training our staff, just having a cognitive awareness, how we communicate, what our words are, our tones matter.
So you've said in the past there'll be no retreat in achieving full compliance with the federal court order. There's been federal oversight of the police department here, and I'm sure that's brought all kinds of challenges for many police chiefs over the years. So what will it take to get out of federal oversight? Is that necessary, and what's the plan?
Well, Oakland has the longest standing federal oversight in the country. 14 years is where we're at today. Now, I think that we're very, very close. It's not just my assessment, it is also the assessment of the federal monitors. We have, for the 14 years, had, I believe, around 50 tasks that we had to prove that we were in compliance. There are only three remaining. And we have made excellent progress toward those three. Now, I will take this opportunity to be sure that our community understands that that hard work was done before Ann Kirkpatrick got here. And it is to the credit of the men and women of this department and the former leaders, the former chiefs of this agency, to have gotten us to even this stage of three remaining. There is now a plan for what do we have to do in these last three remaining tasks. They're very granular. We know step by step what has to be done to get over the finish line. We are going to do that. And I believe that I'm going to be the person who just is blessed to have that opportunity to get us over the finish line. But it is years of hard work of others before me.
That was KLW's news director Ben Trefney talking to Oakland's newest police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick. In order for the Oakland Police Department to break free from the federal monitor, the agency still needs to continue gathering better stop data and to fix their discipline and investigation process. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs.
You may have been walking down the street recently and heard cheers erupting from fans glued to TVs in living rooms or local bars. That's because the Warriors are currently in the Western Conference Finals. Right now, they're taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Last year, when they were in the NBA Finals, we sent three reporters to three different locations during one of their games to talk to fans about why they love their team and how they feel about their upcoming move from Oakland to San Francisco. Here's the story.
This is Hannah King-Zuma. I'm just at the Bird Station, headed to the Warriors game.
Showtime! It's showtime, everybody!
This hoopla.
Hoopla.
This is hoopla.
Describe to me what we're looking
Come on, this is hoopla. This is, everybody here is coming here to expect to win. But I've been coming here when people just came to watch our team. I've been here when we were winning 17. We were winning 17 games a year. 17 games? We were winning 17 games? How many games did we win this year? 73? I was here when we were winning 17. 17! Before we were winning, we were packing the stadium. Because we love our hoops. And that's why I say we've earned this. So all the bandwagon jumpers, come on, come on in. Come on in, come on in. But I was here during the Vontigo Cummins, Chris Gatling, Ike Diagu, Troy Murphy, Dunleavy.
Now I feel like you're just making up words.
No, these are real people.
Iguodala on the move, through the legs, to the basket. What a play! Iguodala!
I'm Shireen Adil, and I'm about to head into Mad Oak in downtown Oakland.
Randy Sims.
What do you think is important about the Warriors right now?
It's the only team that's unifying the whole Bay Area, right? So you look at San Francisco and Oakland, and you have teams that split up these two great cities, the Niners, the Raiders, you know, A's, and the Giants. But the Bay Area, as a unified front, is all behind the Warriors. Doesn't matter where you're from, how long you've been here, it's the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors.
Lillard gets inside Green, knocks it away. What a play by Draymond.
You got this team that's exemplifying and really understand what the fabric of the Bay Area is, and they're using that on the court. And I think that's why they're so successful right now.
So how do you feel about them moving to San Francisco?
You know, I think at the end of the day, business is business, which sucks.
Best assist team in the league, and they've got 8 on their first 9 field goals. Plumlee, met at the summit by Bogut.
I'm Ian Lewis at the new Parkway Theater in Oakland, where they're showing the Warriors game on the big screen.
I'm Tim Huey, originally from Walnut Creek.
Jeff Harry, originally from Chicago, but now I live in Oakland for the past 12 years.
Why do you guys come here for the games?
Ooh, why do we come here for the games? Because the serious fans come here for the games. You got to pay $12.50 to come to this game. You can't just go to the bar. You got to be hardcore about this.
That's a lot less than tickets to the game.
Yeah. Like all the real fans get priced out of the arena now. They're dropping over $1,000 for a ticket in the lower bowl at Oracle. So, yeah, most of the fans, like, looking at them moving to San Francisco, that's the same thing that's going to happen kind of like with the 49ers and Levi's. People going to get priced out. So we come here to be with the community with, you know, 100 other people that are diehard, you know, excited and going to cheer. I came here for the finals last year and got into it with a Cleveland fan for a little bit. That was a lot of fun.
Henderson, chest to chest right at each other.
You know, like, yeah, I could get that at the arena with, like, a Lakers fan some games, but, you know, now neither of us could afford that. So being able to, you know, talk a little smack, all in good fun, have some food, drink, and just get together with folks is a great time.
I was telling Tim, I had to fly to Memphis to see a Warriors game because it was cheaper for me to fly to Memphis and pay for a ticket to get that low than to actually go to a Warriors game here.
Barbosa, 4-3, hit by the Warriors.
Next month. My name is Jack Calavoto. I'm 88.
The fans are fantastic. They're all super nice. They helped me out many times.
In what ways?
Well, I almost fell one time coming up the steps, and arms came out from everywhere and caught me.
Do you have a favorite player?
My current favorite player is Draymond Green, because he's got energy.
If you could say anything to Steph Curry, what would you say?
Oh, I'd say you're doing a great job. You're just such a terrific person all the way around.
What do you think about them moving to San Francisco?
It would be sad. Oakland needs the Warriors, and the Warriors need Oakland.
We'll have a brand new sound for you next week. Ready for your sneak listen? Here we go.
That which makes harmony in the cosmos above, bring peace within and between us.
This unique situation where peoples of different faiths will worship side by side is indeed a tribute to this great city.
Do you know where that was recorded? Give us a call and tell us, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106.
Thanks, Nina. The Cross Currents team for today includes Josiah Luis Alderete, Nina Gensler-Debs, Nicole Grigg, Leela Day, Olivia Henry, Angela Johnston, Greer McVeigh, Lisa Morehouse, James Rowland, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Andrew Stelzer. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is the quartet from Giuseppe Verdi's opera Rigoletto, as performed by pianist Stephen Bailey. Stephen Bailey has a free performance scheduled on Sunday at the Piedmont Piano Company in Oakland. Check out all the details at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.